I'm so excited I could crush a grape.
Oh, yeah. I could take a piece of toilet tissue and rip it like this. You don't mess. I want to thank the Welsh government for releasing me from my duties as a Navy SEAL. To be here tonight, I was in the SEALs for 3 weeks. They didn't tell me that I had to learn how to swim. I'm afraid of water, so I left there. And God called me then to minister to the Tibetan goat herders for 4 years. But the bells on the goats give me tinnitus, so I had to leave there. And then I ended up being a chef in Harrods in England. I could only make beans on toast, so they sacked me right there. So God called me to the ministry. Amen. I really don't know what to say. When Rory and I met, there was an instant connection. I believe it was one of those divine connections. And the older we get, you have to agree, we get more selective with the people that influence your life. And I'm so glad that I've connected with Rory. I believe you're stuck with me for a couple of years. I think I'll be... that was an encouraging amen. How many of you were here this morning? Just give us a wave right here. Did we enjoy the message this morning? And when I walk in here, the atmosphere is so charged with expectancy that anything can happen in this place tonight. Even as there was a time when Peter was preaching and he was only 3 minutes into the preach and the Holy Ghost said, that's enough, bam. So who knows? Who knows? But all afternoon I have sensed a real prophetic anointing on me. It's been like a cloak on me all day, and I know that God has sent me here for a specific time as this. I honestly believe that you are poised for something amazing as a church. I know I'm only saying what has already been said, but sometimes it's good to have somebody from the outside to come in who knows nothing to speak into that as well. And this is what I want you to get ready tonight. I'm not here to waste your time. I'm not here just to pick out a great message and go away thinking, wow, Ray's a great preacher. I've discovered that clever words don't change anyone, but right words in the Holy Ghost can revolutionize your life. And I believe tonight your heart is going to be revolutionized by the Holy Ghost, by the Word of God. Listen to this. This is what he dropped in my heart. We're all here because a 17-year-old girl 2,000 years ago said yes. God says, Mary, can I borrow your womb for 9 months? Because I want to birth a dream that will change the universe. And I believe with all of my heart, I believe I'm prophesying now, for this house, 2020 will be the year of the birthing of dreams. For years, there have been dreams incubating in your spiritual womb, and 2020 is the fullness of time for those dreams. The Bible says, when the fullness of time had come, God birthed his dream. There is a timing in everything. And I honestly believe that 2020 is the year of the birthing of dreams for this house. Relational dreams are going to be birthed. Vocational dreams are going to be birthed. Missional dreams are going to be birthed. Can I hear a big amen in this house right here? And I believe with all of my heart that the Bible says in the last days, God would raise up a generation of dreamers. Joel chapter 2, we know the scripture. Said in the last days, he would find millions of Marys who will say to God, in spite of the cost, birth your dream through me. And I believe with all of my heart, I'm looking at a bunch of people. I'm looking at a bunch of faith-filled, demon-crushing, name of Jesus impregnated people. Can I hear a big amen in this house right here? Now, the reason I say that is the reason why I'm going to preach this message tonight. Because we know that there is one arch enemy who does not want that dream to be birthed. That's why, if you want a title of the message tonight, it is this: guard your heart because your future depends upon it. The scripture we all know, but we're going to look at it from another angle. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, I love this, guard your heart above all else, above everything, because it determines the course of your life. I believe that our hearts are incubators for God-given dreams. Dreams that when they are birthed could change the course of history. There could be somebody in this meeting tonight that has a dream to discover the cure for cancer. And God could give you in a moment the key that could change the life of thousands of people. Somebody say amen right here. Satan is after those dreams. You know, I was watching this documentary on the Canadian salmon. It's a bit strange, but I'm watching this documentary, and this salmon spends years in the open ocean, and then something inside the salmon gets back. He swims back to the very stream, the very river that he entered into the ocean when he was a young fish, and he finds the exact river. Now he's full of eggs, and he's swimming up against the tide, and the narrator, as he's talking about this, says he has to face the danger of anglers. He has to face the dangers of eagles. They swim against the tide, but when they get to the very right to the end where they're going to birth the eggs, they have to swim up these waterfalls, and their greatest danger are the bears. We've seen them. And they exert all their strength, and they get up to the point where they are just over the waterfall, and the bears grab hold of them, bite them, and just throw them away. And the narrator said this: you see, the bears are not after the fish. They're after what they're carrying. Satan is not after you. Satan is after what you are carrying. Dreams that when birthed can change a nation. And I think I'm looking at some carriers of dreams in this house. Somebody say, yeah! Now watch this. So that's why it is imperative that we guard our hearts. Now watch this. Many of you are fighting battles in your humanity, and you are losing because you're fighting battles, for instance, you're fighting battles with jealousy, resentment, self-pity, bitterness, and it seems like these negative emotions have set up camp and they refuse to move. The reason why you're not winning these battles, watch this, is because you're fighting emotional weapons. You're fighting emotional battles using emotional weapons. The battle is for your heart. The battle is for the dreams in your womb. Many of us, we try to dislodge these negative emotions by psyching up positive ones. But the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood. In other words, the war is not really in the sense realm, but spiritual wickedness in high places the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, the weapons of our warfare are not emotional, psychological, or even human, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, stay with me, because the first part of the message is diagnostic. I'm just diagnosing some stuff that some of you have been finding great difficulty in getting release from. The battlefield, according to James, in James chapter 3, he says this: for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I just got to keep you interested, you know. Because when you start speaking stuff like this, people go. Oh, the Welsh preacher. Yeah, well, while we are here, in context with this scripture, there was a Welsh preacher, and he's preaching. And as he's preaching, the devil appears behind him in the pulpit. The congregation scream, and they run out. Ah! And the preacher looks around. He sees the devil. He runs out, except one of the elders, George, in the front. He never moved. So the devil leans over, and he says, "Aren't you afraid of me?" He says, "Nah, not really." And he says, "Don't you know who I am?" "Yeah, the tail, the horns, give it away a bit. Yeah." Said, "Well, why aren't you afraid of me?" "Well," he said, "I've been married to your sister for 40 years, so..." So what I'm saying... Now, that doesn't relate to anybody here, does it? No, weird things happen in Wales. There was another preacher, he's preaching, and in the middle of the service, a woman takes all her clothes off and starts running around the church naked. And the preacher said, "If any man looks at that woman, God will strike you blind." And George, the milkman, up in the balcony said, "Pastor, I think I'll risk one eye." So I'm just saying, I don't know if it's a true story or not. But I heard of another. No, I've got no. No, if you start me off, you start going. So, are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. So the Bible says, so where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Now, the point I'm making is this. This is not just an emotional battle, it's a demonic one. Demons are involved in bitterness, jealousy, selfishness, resentment. It's the oxygen they need to wreak havoc in your life. I am diagnosing right now. The best stuff is coming. Stay with me. Don't run out just yet. Satan actually wants to exploit your humanity to wreck your spirituality. He's after your heart. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus, he very often stops and gives us a glimpse into the supernatural realm, into that area that we are doing warfare. And when I read these verses, God exploded with revelation in my heart. And it's going to help you tonight to guard your heart. Luke chapter 11, verse 24 and 26 says this. This is really interesting. Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. Everybody say dry places. He goes through dry places and seeking rest and finding none, he returns. So Jesus, just in a little statement like this, he says that devils seek dry places. Now, there are dry places that God creates, wilderness experience. Sometimes we have to go through to create our character, develop our character. But there are sometimes dry places that we create unknowingly, allowing Satan to steal our dreams. Jesus tells us, devils seek dry places because they cause havoc in dry places. They kill, steal, and destroy in dry places. They can destroy marriages in dry places. They can split churches in dry places. Somebody say amen here. They can cause suicide in dry places. The devil seeks dry places. Watch, places of poor irrigation. Places where there is an absence of water. Stay with me. I'm diagnosing, okay? Now this makes sense. 1 Peter 5:8. Peter says, be sober and vigilant because your devil walks around like a roaring lion, watch, seeking. What's he seeking? Jesus said, dry places. Then I said to the Lord, Lord, if Satan is after the dreams, if I've got to guard my heart, and you will show me what are the dry, show me the dry places that I can create, giving the devil access to steal my dream. And then he showed me Ephesians 4:27 in the Amplified version. We know it well, but let me read it in the Amplified. This got me by the throat. Do not give the devil an opportunity, or in other words, don't give the devil a dry place, because that's what he seeks. By holding a grudge, by nurturing anger, by harboring resentment, and by cultivating bitterness. Look at the adjectives. These are not just emotions that pass through us. Now, we can all feel bitter at times, and we can all feel resentful, and we can all get angry at times. But these adjectives, no, it talks about holding a grudge. You don't know what they did to me. I'm holding on to this. This is mine. I'm keeping it. I'm not letting it go. You know what's happening? You're creating a dry place for the devil to steal your dream. Watch this. Nurturing anger. Nurture. To nurture means to care for, to protect something, to encourage it to grow and perpetuate its life. Nurturing anger, harboring resentment. That's a nautical term. To give a permanent resting place, allowing resentment to drop anchor in your heart. This is not just a ship coming in to harbor, dropping its stuff and leaving. No, this is a ship that says, I'm staying here. Come on, if you're still with me, say amen. Trust me, it gets better. The medicine is coming. Watch this, cultivating bitterness. That's an agricultural term. To cultivate like you would a plant. To provide a suitable soil, to fertilize it, to give it an environment for the plant to grow, and daily attend to its development. Now, you know, I know this may be a bit sort of for a Sunday night, but I'm telling you this. Your dream is too important. Come on, somebody say amen. What's about to be birthed in your life in 2020, you need to get this. Because when I saw this, so I'm thinking, what? So holding grudges, nurturing anger, harboring resentment, cultivating bitterness, they produce barren wastelands in our hearts where devils like to walk. The Bible says, resist the devil, don't assist him. Okay, that's the diagnosis. Anybody ready for the medicine? Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, yabba-dabba-doo. Right. I heard of another guy. Anyway, no, forget that. Listen, so it's been around Rory too much. That's what it is. Now watch this. With my incredible intellect, I began to understand something. If the devil seeks dry places, then the Holy Spirit must be seeking wet places. It's just rocket science, isn't it? He seeks wet places. The Holy Spirit is attracted to water. He hovers creatively over wet places. We saw them tonight. They were baptized. They were dunked in the water. Watch this. After Jesus' baptism, the Bible says, as he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit found a wet place. Come on, somebody say amen. As he came up out of the water, whap, the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. While the devil seeks dry places to destroy, the Holy Spirit seeks wet places to create. Your dream is in its incubation phase. It's like this in Genesis 1. Watch. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Come on, man. The creative power of the Holy Spirit was hovering. Man, I want to tell you, wet places attract the favor and the creative power of God. God can create order out of confusion, beauty out of ugliness, fullness out of emptiness, and light in the darkness. A place where God declares, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Bitterness, resentment, strife, and anger create ugly words and dry hearts. And the reason why I'm preaching this so passionately is because I don't know how many times I've wanted to give up this. When stuff happens, people you thought would be with you for life, people who know you suddenly believe the lies of other people and they know you. I said to God once, I said, "Lord, how can they believe that lie about me when they know me?" And you know what God said to me? "How could the devil convince a third of the angels that I was wrong when I created them?" So God's got an answer for everything. I said, "Lord, I want to give up." He said, "I don't." "Lord, I'm finished." He said, "I'm not." I want to tell you something. What God has started in your life, he will bring to completion. And that dream is going to be birthed in 2020. That's why you've had a hell of a time up to this point. Wow. Now watch this. This was not so long ago. This message came out of this experience. And I'm driving up to the airport to go somewhere, not really wanting to go. I didn't like people anymore, especially the church, because I thought, "You shouldn't be like this to me." You know what I mean? How can somebody not love me? You know what I'm saying? It's impossible. But they did. And there were lies and there was stuff going around, and I'm living my dream. I am birthing the dream that God placed within me. But there was a crucial point when I could have cultivated bitterness. I could have harbored resentment. And he was right there, and I'm driving to the airport. I said, "Lorna." And then I looked up into the sky, and I saw the planes coming into land. You know, it was just the sun was setting, and you could see the lights of the planes. You know, they were lined up, about 10 of them in the distance, and they were coming into land. I said, "Lord, that's what I feel like. Here comes anger, ready to land on my heart. And then when that lands, I'm dealing with this. And then, whoa, here comes resentment straight behind it. So then I'm dealing with the resentment. Oh, don't worry. Bitterness is on its way." Come on, somebody say amen. So then I'm dealing with bitterness. And then, oh, jealousy. That's a big one. That's coming along. And this is what I said, honest to God. I said, "Lord, shoot down the planes." Do you know what he said to me? I had to pull over on the side of the road. And I've said all this to say what I'm about to say. I said, Lord, shoot down the planes. And do you know what he said to me? No. He said, why don't you close the airport? I said, what? He said, why don't you close the airport? And then he started to minister and he said to me, hey, Ray, devils cannot land on word-covered runways. Devils cannot land. Bitterness cannot land on grace-covered runways. Resentment cannot land on love-covered runways. Anger cannot land on praise-covered runways. Somebody help me here. Grudges cannot land on forgiveness-covered runways. He said, Ray, flood the airport. My God, do you know what? I felt like a hobbit ready to take down Middle Earth. I was lost for words. And I declare to you tonight, we are going to drown some devils in this place right here, right now. And the stuff that you've been dealing with. I'm not minimizing what they did to you. I'm not trivializing the words that were said, the abuse that you've suffered. But listen to me. Satan is not after you. He's after what you're carrying. And when I saw this, I thought, how could I have missed this? I said, Lord, how do I flood the runways? And he said, Ray, all you have to do is be thirsty. And he showed me Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And when I walked in here tonight, I turned to Rory and I said, there's such an expectancy in this place. There is such a thirst for the presence of God in this place. Am I speaking to a bunch of thirsty people in this house right here? Can you give the Lord some praise in this house and just shout right here? We're going to drown some devils! Oh! And right there in my car, I flushed those devils out. Man, I drowned that bitterness. I flooded the runways of my life, you know, and I've never looked back. I could care less what they say about me. The Lord said, Ray, don't be concerned about what people think about you. Rejoice with what heaven knows about you. Come on, somebody say amen. And he said, Ray, look, it's enough for you to know that I know. That's it. Woo-hoo! I feel like doing the river dance. My God. I want to tell you, Jesus has come to give us life and life in its abundance. And Satan wants to steal that joy. But no, we're going to drown some devils tonight. And we're going to start dancing. Come on, somebody say amen right here. Watch this. Last few scriptures. Isaiah 44 verse something. Listen. No, I get so excited I want to eat myself. Listen to this. God says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods on dry ground. We're going to flood some runways. That resentment's going to go. Bitterness is going to be flushed out. Anger is going to be drowned. Man. I'm going to finish with this scripture. And this is what's going to happen in the spirit tonight. We're going to get the band up in a minute. We're going to hand back to Rory. We're just going to praise God for a bit. But now you're going to do it with revelation. Okay, listen. Amen. You're going to do it with revelation. And you're going to flood that stuff out. Isaiah 59, verse 19 in the New King James Version says this. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Now watch this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Now the Old Testament was written with no punctuation. So it was at the discretion of the translators where to put the punctuation marks. They made a mistake here. Because if you look at the context of the chapter, it should read like this. Oh, please, get rid of that. That's it, yeah. It should read like this. When the enemy comes in, comma, then like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Somebody better say amen right here. Yeah, somebody say woohoo! When you go home, read the whole chapter and read. If you take a text out of context, you get a con. So what you need to do, read the scripture in context. I want to tell you, the enemy doesn't come in like a flood. He comes in like a wimp trying to rob you of your dream. It's the Spirit of the Lord that raises up a standard against him. So when we praise in a moment, when we give thanks in a moment, do you know what's going to happen? In the spirit, it's going to look like a tsunami to the devil. It's going to look like, oh, let's go. Come on, man. We're going to drown some devils tonight. There's some freedom and joy and life coming into the hearts of people. Your heart's going to be mended. Your heart's going to be flooded. And your dream will be birthed in 2020. Somebody give praise to God right here. Can we have the musicians up here? No, you need to give him praise. Somebody give him praise in this house. Now watch this. We're going to praise in just a moment. Remember what I said at the early part. Very often we are fighting emotional battles using emotional weapons. Jesus demonstrated what I've just been preaching tonight. It says this. It says, in the same night that he was betrayed, he fled the runways. In the same night that he was betrayed, the Bible says, he gave thanks. I'm telling you, the power of thanksgiving is the most incredible weapon you can use to keep your heart clean, flooded, wet for God to create within your life. And that's what we're going to do. I'm asking you to stand right now in the presence of God. Thank you for listening to this message. I don't normally preach this. I've only preached this message maybe 3 or 4 times. But Rory and I talked and we thought, no, this was the message for tonight. Because there are so many dreams in the balance here. So all we're going to do is right where you are standing. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know how deep the resentment is. I don't know how deep the bitterness is, the anger. I don't know. But I do know, as you by faith right now, man, there are people that have experienced rejection in this place in the most extreme case. There are people in this place, you have been abused physically and mentally, and people just tell you, get over it. And you say, really? I haven't come to tell you to get over it tonight. I've come to give you a key to flood out that stuff in the name of Jesus by using spiritual weapons. And the most powerful is thanksgiving right now. Right where you are. If this message has related to you and you need to flood the airport, just raise your hands where you are right now and start by faith to give thanks as the band lead us in worship. And I'll hand back to Rory. Come on. There are hands going up all over the building. Shimbratus te sembrete vesta sangro te vegeta.